We invite you to stay tuned for Memorial Day with Johnny Mann. Underwritten by State Farm Agent Tom Cobb, 5466 Hickson Pike. His phone number is 843-1107.
Yankee Doodle, keep it up. Yankee Doodle, dandy. Mind the music and the step, and with the girls be handy. Yankee Doodle, keep it up. Yankee Doodle, dandy. Mind the music and the step, and with the girls be handy.
Father and I went down to camp along with Captain Gooden, and there we saw the men and boys as thick as hasty pudding.
And there was Captain Washington upon a slapping stallion, giving orders to his men. I guess there was a million.
Memorial Day was officially proclaimed on the 5th of May, 1868, by General John Logan, National Commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, and was first observed on May 30th, 1868, when flowers were placed on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. The first state to officially recognize the holiday was New York in 1873. By 1890, it was recognized by all of the northern states. The South refused to acknowledge the day, honoring their dead on separate days until after World War I, when the holiday changed from honoring just those who died fighting in the Civil War to honoring Americans who died fighting in any war. It is now celebrated in almost every state on the last Monday in May, which was passed by Congress with the National Holiday Act of 1971. To assist us in commemorating, acknowledging, and celebrating Memorial Day is one of America's most noted patriots and musicians, the organizer, arranger, composer, and director of the Johnny Mann Singers, Mr. Johnny Mann.
Hi, Tom.
Hello, John.
How are you, sir?
Oh, it's just lovely tonight.
Oh, it's so great. I'm so thrilled to be here. It is. Memorial Day is a big day to me because I'm a hamburger when it comes to America, as you well know, and I'm just delighted to be doing this show with you.
Well, John, I probably haven't told you more than 500 or 600 times what an inspiration you've been to me personally since the mid-1960s through the Johnny Mann Singers. And for the past half dozen years, it's been such a blessing to enjoy your friendship, along with your lovely wife Betty's friendship, with my family.
Well, that's the way I feel, of course, Tom, because we came together strictly through music and through meeting each other as two musicians. But then you know how Betty and I love you and Faye and your wonderful group of daughters. I'm not going to call them a vocal group, but they are. They're everything that you can think of musically, and just a wonderful bunch of girls.
Well, thank you very much, John. Well, tell us, on this Memorial Day weekend, which came first, the chicken or the egg? And what I mean by this is, did your notable patriotism result from your the service in the Army, or Was it prior to that period? Just how did your love of America develop?
Well, like I say, Tom, I shouldn't say I'm a hamburger. Our whole family were ultra-patriotic. No big family, just a small family, my mother, brother, my mother, father, and brother. But we were all very patriotic, and I first got used to it as a child because my dad was always that way. But I grew up, I just missed World War II being in as a draftee because I was 13 when World War II was on. But because of that, I followed it. We got a chance to get it in the newspaper every day to see where the Allies were going here and all that. And all of that built up because it was just part of our life then, especially mine as a young guy.
So
that's
that was
where I really loved it during World War II.
Right, the World War II era. Now, you subsequently, weren't you in one of the service bands?
I was. I was in the United States Army. When I went into the Army in 1951, the United States Army, that was the Korean War. The United States Army Field Band was one of the big presidential units. There are two for the Army and the one for the Navy and the Marines and all. It's a big 90-piece symphonic band and a 30-voice male chorus, and we toured around the world. We did 10 countries of Europe and all of that. But I was in that band. I played trombone in the band. And for 2 years of being in the Army, I was really blessed because all I did was music.
Well, that sounds great. Well, let's listen to one of the sacred songs of our country by the Johnny Mann Singers.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber winds of grain, for purple.
Memorial Day is our national holiday that acknowledges and pays respect to those who gave their lives in defense of American freedom. The Johnny Man Singers now bring us a tribute to each branch of our armed services.
Yes, this new nation and its people were free, but freedom takes sacrifice, and it's the men and women of the armed forces who make that sacrifice for all of us. Some of them have paid with their lives in places like Valley Forge, the Alamo, Guadalcanal, and Vietnam. This, then, is our salute to the armed forces of the United States of America. These brave men and women prove that though it may be costly, freedom is worth the price.
From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, we fight our country's battles in the air, on land and sea.
First to fight for right and freedom, and to keep our honor free.
We are proud to claim the title of United States Marine. Up we go into the wild blue yonder, climbing high into the sun.
The Johnny Man Singers, directed by our very special guest, Mr. Johnny Man. On behalf of State Farm agent Tom Cobb, providing insurance and financial services throughout our community, Tom is proud to bring you this program, Memorial Day with the Johnny Man Singers. Tom Cobb's State Farm office, located at 5466 Hickson Pike. His phone number is 843-1107. John, writing a new patriotic song must be as difficult as writing a new Christmas song. We have in our minds what a patriotic song should sound like. Yankee Doodle, Battle Hymn of the Republic, Star Spangled Banner, and so forth. But you've written a number of songs about our country, and the first one of yours I remember was back in the 1960s entitled The Voice of Freedom. What inspired The Voice of Freedom?
Well, I keep having things pop up that give me a thought about composing something or writing a song. And in this case, of course, when President John Kennedy was assassinated, that got all of us. I mean, he was our president. We loved him, and it was a terrible thing that happened. And I thought of him because he was speaking for the United States of America around the world. I said, the title just came out of the... God gives me these titles all the time, Tom, and I take what the Lord tells me something to do, I do it. And he gave me the Voice of Freedom as a title, so I sat down and wrote a song and called it The Voice of Freedom.
So my question really was, what inspired the Voice of Freedom? You feel like it really was inspired.
It was inspired by the assassination, yes.
And I guess what it's saying in the song is the voice of freedom is not going to be silenced.
Ever.
Well, let's hear the voice of freedom. The Voice of Freedom. Well, John, as a creative vocal artist and composer and patriot, you came up with another unusual song called Only Through Her Eyes. How did you come to write that song?
Well, Tom, as you know, we all grew up in growing up in America where constantly we were seeing replicas of the Statue of Liberty, either on film or footage or dollar bills or all over our lifespan, we see the Statue of Liberty. And when I thought about it, and I thought about what inspiration that statue has for me and for you and for all of us, and I thought, my golly, she's watching over America. So what does America, how does America come off through her eyes? What does she see? And of course, We hope it comes off well and that she's seeing that it all turns out great. So I wrote, America is seen through the eyes of the Statue of Liberty, and it's called Only Through Her Eyes.
The Statue of Liberty has stood at the gateway to America for 100 years. She's become a symbol to the world of God's blessing upon this great land. For she has seen us grow into a nation that represents freedom to all who would pass beneath her flame. As future generations come and go, only she will be there to see the fulfillment of our dreams. A strong and glorious nation striving to bring the message of God's love and peace to the entire world.
Only through her eyes can we see the longing. Only through her eyes can we see the pain. Only by her light can we see the people, born of many nations.
Johnny Mann. Almost 200 years ago, a remarkable thing happened. The United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, stand up and cheer.
Johnny Mann, does that last tune ring a bell in your memory?
Boy, I'll tell you, it rings a big bell. I'll never forget it. That was the very beginning of Stand Up and Cheer when I got the idea. I couldn't, again, stand all the bad stuff that was going on about protesters in the country. And I just got all emotional about it and wrote the song Stand Up and Cheer. And then we had to start off with it by performing it where we could, and I got singers, young singers from Hollywood, and we put the show together, and we auditioned, and then we went to Vegas, and we did a show in Vegas for a couple of weeks, And I won't go into all the details because it's a whole story of Chevrolet seeing and hearing about the show in Vegas and the standing ovations and putting it together and decided to put it on television. And I was glad because I was tired of the protesters complaining and burning our flags when we got something good to talk about in America. So we did it, and Stand Up and Cheer was really well received.
So this was the Johnny Mann Singers, and this it developed into a television show?
Yes, it did. We did the shows in Vegas, and Chevrolet decided to put us on as a special, a one-hour special on ABC, the television network.
So that was a one-time deal, or did that?
That was a one-shot, and we did it, and the ratings were so high that John DeLorean, you remember the name, of Chevrolet, said, put it on the air. So we did 3 years of one a week for 3 years.
So that three-year series grew out of basically that one song, and again, your patriotism wanting to sing the good parts of America.
You're right on tack, Tom. That's perfect. You said it right.
So was this TV group of Johnny Mann Singers sort of an expanded showcase of your studio group?
Well, they were, except for one of the old gentlemen, Mr. Ravenscroft, our older bass guy, but all of the younger people were aspirant and younger studio singers. But I had to have people with choreographic ability, could sing, could sight read, could perform and look good, and did that. So we put together the group that way, because we didn't have a job at the time. They had to come in on their own, of their own volition, and rehearse a little bit until we got someone to say, okay, we'll put them on a stage, and they did it by putting us on in Vegas.
So that was 3 years of Stand Up and Cheer on television.
You bet.
Wow. John, you're originally from Baltimore, and during the War of 1812, something happened in Baltimore Harbor that resulted in a famous poem being written. You were probably just a boy at the time, but what was it like to actually live in the area where something so exciting happened?
Well, I love your words of, you were probably just a boy at that time. But I wasn't even born or thought about in 1812. That was a little before my time, Tom. But I love it, and I do remember it because I've been to Fort McHenry many, many times. Fort McHenry is the American fortress right there on the in the harbor in Baltimore, and the British fleet was coming up the river to go to Washington and take over the United States of America. And because of Fort McHenry, the story of it, the whole simple, oversimplified story, of course, is the cannons of Fort McHenry prevented the British from going past Fort McHenry and taking over Washington. And that's where the War of 1812 was at least controlled after that.
And a fellow named Francis Scott Key observed all of the goings-on.
Francis Scott Key was an attorney, and he happened to be on the lead ship of the British fleet, and he was an American, and he saw all of this going on, and he's the one who saw the flags and the smoke and the guns that all happened, and the next morning he saw the American flag come up.
On September 14, 1814, Francis Scott Key stood on the deck of a British man-of-war in Baltimore Harbor and observed an unsuccessful British attack on Fort McHenry at the close of the War of 1812. His inspiration resulted in a poem which, when set to music, became a song. No one could have known that song was to become the national anthem of the United States of America. Our anthem stands for honor, for peace, and for the sacrifice of a people who, with God's help, built a nation of liberty and justice for all. One nation under God.
The first time I ever sang that arrangement, I was singing with the Glenn Draper Singers right here in Chattanooga. I was so moved by your incredible arrangement and by the emotions of the moment that I could hardly sing. I just got choked up. That's one of those unique arrangements that stirs the patriotic blood as much as anything I've heard.
Well, I hate to tell you this, Tom, but you're a hamburger too.
I am, John. Oh, my. You know, that version is the only arrangement I know of the Star-Spangled Banner that's written in 4/4 time.
Yeah, because usually, and it was of a purpose. I just wanted it to be beautiful and moving and emotional. But I don't want to criticize anyone for singing it their way. But people will go to will be at a ball game, and in three, four, and you're a musician, Tom, and our audience, of course, isn't. But in 3/4 time, it moves faster, you know, da da dum da da dum, and a lot of people sing it in ballparks and all, and they sing it a cappella. And a cappella means unaccompanied, meaning no orchestra. They sing it all by themselves,
right?
Solo, and I give them credit for having the guts to do that. But it certainly would sound better if they had help.
Well, I guess the 4/4 time gives you just a few seconds more of lingering and stretching the words and the meanings.
Okay. That's it. You've got it. Well, see, you would know that stuff.
Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful arrangement.
Well, I thank you.
Now, Johnny Mann, you are a man who has lived literally coast to coast and have chosen to live out your years of, well, I started to say your years of retirement. But like most great musicians, I guess there is no retirement in sight for you.
Well, you and I both know music is work. I mean, we're not behind a desk, or we're not hammering and building things or whatever we're doing, but music is still work. And, of course, it's fun work to us. And the good part about music is you can do it until you're ready to get in the box.
So you're still recording and still writing and involved in local activities in Anderson, North Carolina there.
Absolutely. I still am. And when Betty, my wife, and I, when we have a session to do, I write the music, of course, here. And we just travel on to California, do it, and go wherever else we want to go.
I think I just moved Anderson to North Carolina. We better put it back in South Carolina.
Well, that's close enough.
Well, John, I heard some very exciting news concerning an honor that has come your way in the last few days. Something special happened in Anderson University on May 8th.
Well, I'm a little embarrassed about this, but I'm thrilled because the president of Anderson University, which is a very good Christian university, and he called me and asked me, Evans Whitaker is his name, the president, and he asked me to write a new alma mater for the university, because they had had their first 100 years and they were going into their second centennial, and they would like to have possibly a song. So to make a long story short, I wrote it, they liked it, we recorded it, and now it is the alma mater for Anderson University.
So that's the new official song.
That's the new official song for Anderson University. And then to, I don't want to say complicate things. If anything, it opened things and was wonderful. And that on May 8th, it is May, yes, I was blessed just to let know, I got the information from President Whitaker, that I was given I was given an honorary doctorate of humanities at the university.
So it is now Dr. Johnny Mann.
Yes, and if you need a prescription, I will do my best.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, I guess the honorary degree at this point in your career is really similar in recognition as a Lifetime Achievement Award would be in Hollywood.
Well, they call this Doctorate of Humanities, but it is to me, this means a great deal to me, because from whence it came, I received it. I don't I don't need anything to make me feel good. I just need something that the Lord has led me to get this place in my life. And to receive such a award is just another blessing.
Well, you've been there and you've done it all. You've worked in movies and television. You were the band director for the Joey Bishop Show, and Regis Philbin was the sidekick there. So you've been there and done it all. And, you know, it's sure about time that somebody recognized you with a great award in addition to your two Grammy Awards.
Well, that's very nice of you to tell me that, Tom. I know it's happened, and I'm grateful. And again, I think I'm in God's hands, and whatever happens is certainly the Lord's work.
Well, you have settled with your wife, Betty, in Anderson, South Carolina.
Yes.
And today we're broadcasting from Chattanooga, Tennessee. How do you like the South as compared with L.A. or other parts of the country?
It's a whole different world. When I spent 65 years in Los Angeles, in Hollywood, because I wasn't that, I didn't live in Hollywood except for a couple of beginning days, but in the L.A., Los Angeles area, the San Fernando Valley and all of that, that is a different world. And when we had occasion to come to South Carolina to visit Betty's daughter and son-in-law at their new home, they came down here for occupational reasons. And we came down to visit them, and I had met the people, and the lifestyle here is completely different than, and I'm sure this won't shock you, Hollywood. This is down home. It's love. We've been here 5 years. We love it. And you couldn't get me out of here with a time bomb.
So there really is Southern hospitality.
There is an abundance of Southern hospitality to everyone.
Well, now we've heard all the traditional patriotic songs tonight. Do you have any arrangements to appease us Southerners?
I love the way you say that. I have it. Because, again, I'm still the hamburger, and it's from Civil War time, but I always loved Dixie.
Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixieland, where I was born in, early on the frosty morning, look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. I wish I was in Dixie.
Away, 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 away.
We live where you live, and that's why State Farm agent Tom Cobb, located at 5466 Hickson Pike, is proud to be bringing you this program of patriotic music into your home. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Memorial Day is a serious holiday commemorating those who sacrificed their lives for our nation, as well as a celebration of our freedoms with family gatherings, cookouts, and I'm sure there are sporting events going on as well. One of your outstanding arrangements uses with the Johnny Mann Singers, along with a very nice orchestra. John, did you always use orchestral accompaniment with your singers, and did the instruments make the recording session more exciting?
Well, as you know, Tom, I've done several albums a cappella, meaning with just voices, and you've done so many things like that yourself. But I've done a multitude of the 42 albums and all with orchestra. And when people sing solo and they have a chance to have an orchestra, but if they don't use them, they're crazy, flat out, because the orchestra certainly adds a wonderful background, adds to the emotion, adds to the tone, adds to everything when it is accompanied, when the voices are accompanied, or the solo voice, by an orchestra. Any orchestration is wonderful, and it's positive for the recording to make it sound better and fuller and much more harmonic.
So you've used the symphonic kind of orchestra with all the string players and everything, as well as big bands, too, haven't
you? Well, that's good. I've done it all. I've done, when you have, say, the orchestra background, you might only have piano, drums, bass, and guitar. Or you may only have eight horns, or eight instruments, meaning piano, drums, bass, and guitar, two trumpets, one trombone, and two saxophones. That's a small band, or a big dance band, and then one you talked about with all the strings and the woodwinds. That's glorious.
Well, let's listen to America with the Johnny Mann Singers and the Big Orchestra. I know one aspect in your heart of hearts is not only your love of music and patriotism, but far more importantly, your personal Christian faith. Share with us just a little about what the Lord means to you and how He is such a strong part of your life.
Well, Tom, Betty and I both share that. We've always, since we've been married and all together, we feel like absolutely in the hands of the Lord. And despite all the many difficult things that happen in lifetime, we know that we're in God's hands, and we'll stay there until he takes us home to be with him. So we don't have anything to worry about at all. We know from our background and our total lifestyle before we ever got to today, everything was learning and finding out more about what God has done for us. And he has certainly taken care of Betty and me.
So all things have worked together toward good for you.
Oh, absolutely. And even when you think, would God let this happen? I mean, I broke my ankle or whatever happened. It's all part of life, but the overall is the Lord watching over us.
Now, we've heard criticism some in some of the media about America was not founded as a Christian nation and so forth and so on. What do you think about that sort of comment?
About not being a Christian nation?
Right.
Well, all you do is check the percentages. But people don't believe them, but they read the percentages and they say 62 to 67% of the people in America profess to be Christians.
And our founding fathers were men of faith.
Absolutely. That's what America was built on. That's what created America, with the people getting away from Britain and becoming evangelists, if you will, here and making it happen with that way. And that's what America is, despite what other people say.
Well, let's listen to God of Our Fathers.
Father,
A beautiful a cappella version of Faith of Our Fathers by the Johnny Mann Singers. I've been so thankful for our modern modes of communications. Through the internet, you and I, John, have been able to communicate, it seems like, once or twice a week. And to take it a step further, I've become acquainted with and friends with a couple of the real Johnny Mann Singers, and even one of your former neighbors on the West Coast. And I'd like to thank our friend Dick Schulenberg for providing the recordings we used on the program. And can you think of anything nice to say about old Richard?
I sure can, but what makes me, it's not a negative, but I really hate the thought that you and the Schulenbergs and your family have not gotten together again. Of course, they're quite, not again, gotten together, period, because it's been so far apart. Dick Schulenberg and Mary Jean are just wonderful, wonderful people. I've already talked about you, so I'm not going to say anything nice about you anymore, okay? But, Tom, the people like you guys and the Schulenbergs are friends that we cannot begin to replace in our world because we are so close to them. We love you all so very, very much. And Dick Schulenberg has always been, in the last many years, a dear, dear, dear friend of ours.
Well, John, you seem to stay the eternal optimist concerning the future and your
I am.
And your faith and your country. So that's uplifting to all of us to hear the perpetual optimism that you bring. Now, we have another mutual friend in Dallas, Texas, director of the International Champion Men's Chorus, The Vocal Majority. How was it that Jim Clancy came to record your original composition, One Nation Under God?
I'm so happy you brought him up because he's another one, Tom, as you well know. You've gotten to know Jim Clancy and just talking to him. When a man of his stature opens his life and his business and his music world to other guys like us who can meet and be with him and have done so in our time, I love it. Meeting Jim Clancy is one of the great blessings of my time because he is, I think, the number one choral director, arranger in the world for male choruses, for the big, wonderful sound.
His group is just magnificent.
Aren't they wonderful, Tom? The sound, it's so, what makes me angry is they're so perfect.
They just don't miss, do they?
I feel like B-flat, ordinary choral guy. And yet I love doing it because Jim Clancy made him that way. Jim Clancy keeps him that way. 11 international championships and all of that. But on top of that, he's a wonderful, young, good Christian guy.
Well, let's listen to The Vocal Majority under the direction of Jim Clancy do Johnny Mann's original tune, One Nation Under God.
Of the free.
Johnny Mann, my music hero, dear friend, great American and Christian brother, thank you for being with us on this Memorial Day special with Johnny Mann and the Johnny Mann Singers.
Thank you, Tom.
This program has been brought to you by your State Farm agent, Tom Cobb, providing insurance and financial services. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. You have heard Memorial Day with Johnny Mann and the Johnny Mann Singers. This is WDYN Chattanooga, and I am your host, Tom Hammett.
Glory, 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 hallelujah.